Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, welcome to Christ Covenant Online, our service here. So glad that you're logged in, you're tuned in. And hey, would you do me a favor? Would you share this with someone who you know needs it? Would you start a Facebook watch party? It's honestly, it's a really easy way to get the word out of what God's doing here and to remind people how good God is, even in the middle of all the bad. And speaking of the bad, all you got to do is turn on the news or talk to a friend or scroll on social media, and there's a lot of bad, there's a lot of chaos, and honestly, there's not a lot of joy happening around us. And so here's what I thought we would do. Before we jump into the message God's put on my heart, I wanted to have just a little bit of fun here together and bring a little levity to you and me. And as you've seen and I've seen, there's a lot of memes out there involving the quarantines and the restrictions. And I thought we'd have some fun together. And I want to show you my top five memes. Some of you have even sent these to me, okay? And so here we go. Here's the first one I want to show you. You can see it right here on the screen. Maybe you watch The Office like my family does, and I can relate to this, y'all. It feels like I haven't been able to touch my face in like 10 days. It's a difficult thing to break that old habit. Here's the next one. We'll do these real quickly. You can see it here. Now, toilet paper has been really hard to find, but this could be a little life hack for us to be able to figure out a new way that we've got to have our TP. Here's the next one for all of us homeschooling our kids right now. We feel guilty they're watching too much TV. So just mute that bad boy and they can read the subtitles and your guilt will melt away. Here's the next one. I just have two more. We've been in a lot of Zoom meetings, most of us, FaceTime, Skype. And so you can see this one here. This is us without showing the video and just listening to audio. And this is with us showing the video in those Zoom meetings. I think we can relate to that as a lot of us are working from home. And this last one, before we show it to you, now, several of you sent this to me personally, this meme, and you know who you are. To give you some context before you see it, I'm a big Dallas Cowboys fan. Please still love me, okay? But I'm a big Cowboys fan. I'm from Dallas originally, but I love Houston. Falling in love with the city, love the people, love you. But I had somebody send me this one, several people. You can check this one out. Here's your backup plan, apparently, for toilet paper. Well, there they are. I hope that at least got you to crack a smile. Now, in all seriousness, you know, I know, we are in unprecedented times. We really are. And this brings a lot of questions. And I know I'm asking questions and you have questions. Questions like, how do I stay healthy during this pandemic? Questions like, what if I get laid off? Or maybe you've unfortunately already been laid off. What do I do? How in the world do I homeschool my kids? Help us, Jesus. When will things get back to normal? That's a question that all of us are asking. When will we get back to normal? We have a lot of questions. There's a lot of concern with what's happening. And honestly, I'm so thankful in the middle of the questions, in the middle of the concern, we have someone we can take all of that to, and his name is Jesus. I've said it before and I'll say it again. He takes way better care of us than we could ever take care of ourselves. Jesus is the one that we need. And so as I share my heart with you here today, we're going to lean into Jesus. We're going to run after Jesus, and we're going to open up the Holy Word of God. So if you have a copy of the scriptures with you, maybe you got a physical copy like I do, or maybe you have a Bible app, would you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we're going to read several verses this week. If you tune in last week, we did the same thing. We really need to meditate and lean in to what God has to say to us during this difficult time. I'm going to read to you out of the New Living Translation, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 2 and read all the way through verse 10. Here's what God's word has to say. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly as we pray to our God and Father about you. We think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, this is awesome, check this out, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And you know of our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. Verse 7, as a result, you have become an example to all the believers in Greece and throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out. I love that. It's ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it. Verse 9, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from your idols to serve the living and true God. The last verse we're going to read together, verse 10. They speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for your holy written word that is powerful. And we pray, God, that today in this moment, it would sink heavy, deep into our heart and our soul, and that it would change us from the inside out. Jesus, we need you. I pray for the next just few moments, Lord, that you would speak through me and that you would bring life change to every single person tuning in. We love you. We need you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're taking notes, I'm calling this short message simply contagious hope. Contagious hope. And like always, to truly understand the significance of what we just read and to also fully understand how it relates to us now in March 2020, we need to know a little bit of what was happening back then. You've heard me say it before. I'll say it again. Context is king. You see, the letter we just read is called 1 Thessalonians because it's addressed to a church, a new church, in the city of Thessalonica. And Thessalonica was the capital of Macedonia, and it's also was also its largest city. And the Apostle Paul, who's the author, he's rolling into Thessalonica with his buddies Silas and Timothy. And this is during Paul's second missionary journey, by the way. But they roll into this big city, and Paul, what does he do? He goes to the church, to the synagogue, and he preaches on the Sabbath for several weeks in a row. And what happens next? People get saved. They give their life to Jesus. It's awesome, at least to some people. You see, the Jewish community in the area, they did not like losing people to Christianity. So what happened next? They begin to attack the church. They begin to attack this brand new church that is birthed out of this movement because they don't like what's happening. They go after this guy named Jason, who was housing Paul at the time. And during all of the chaos, the Apostle Paul, he's forced to leave. And some believe that anywhere from 3 to 6 months later, Paul is able to pen a letter to this brand new church plant. And this is what we just stepped into, the letter called 1 Thessalonians. And Paul, he encourages them, and honestly, it's going to encourage you and me today as well, because they were facing difficult moments, and so are we. And so I just wrote down a few things here. And so if you're taking notes at home, I hope you'll jot this down. Here's the first one. Number one, we learn here from the text that hope has a name. Let that sink in. Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. We see throughout the text, but specifically in verse 3, when it talks about the enduring hope that they had and that we have because of Jesus. Hear me loud and clear, friend. Jesus is why we have hope. And so you need to know, like, my hope, it's not in the government, even though we should honor them. My hope is not in the doctors, even though we should pray for them. You better believe my hope is not in my bank account or in the stock market or my savings right now. My hope is in the one who spoke the world into existence. My hope is in the all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present God of the universe. My hope is in the one who heals every sickness, every disease, the one who can raise the dead. Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. May we never forget that. Here's the second thing I wrote down. I hope you'll write this down too. Number two, people don't need a message. They need an encounter. They don't need a message. They need an encounter. You see, the Apostle Paul, he points this out in verse 5. Yes, they came and they shared a message, but the message was backed up by the power of God. You see, at some point, it's got to get past words, friend. Yes, tell me God loves me, but I want to know God's love personally, and so do you. Yes, tell me God wants to move in power in my life, but I want to encounter the power of God for myself. Now, let's relate this to today. You see, in the world that we live in, the pandemic all around, like everybody has a message. There's a lot of people talking right now. Have you realized, just like I realized, that like everybody's an expert on the coronavirus right now? Like everybody pretends like they know what's going on and what should happen and what would happen if we did things this way. Everybody has theories and hypothetical scenarios, solutions. But eventually, somebody's got to stop talking and start doing. Let's see those words in actions. And it should be like this when we follow Jesus. Our words must be backed up by the power of God. Yes, we should preach, and yes, we should share the good news. That is vital, that's important, and we'll talk about that more in a moment. But I'm not just praying that people would preach a message or post something online. I'm praying that people would encounter the power of God. That we would step out and be open to opportunities where we could pray for people and pray for the power of God to move. That we pray for a revival in our community, in our nation. I gotta tell you something, friend. We don't just want people to cope with their pain. You see, the gospel is not pain management. Romans chapter 1, verse 6 says, the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. May we begin to pray for the power of God, people to encounter God and his love and his goodness. We need to activate in our neighborhoods and our communities to show people God's love. Yeah, let's preach, and yes, let's share, but let's open up for opportunities for God to work in power in us and through us, to give God space to move in us and through us. Here's the last thing I wrote down from the text. Number three, the gospel is contagious. It's contagious. We see this in verses 7-8. Now, as you know, one of the big reasons that a lot of people are scared right now is because this virus seems to be so contagious. And you even have people that are younger that can be asymptomatic and pass it on to someone else. And we're scrubbing down our hands and our clothes every time we come back inside from being out. We're cleaning our phones, constantly washing our hands, constantly hand sanitizing. People are making their own hand sanitizer. I mean, it's getting crazy out there. We're so scared, many different people so scared of this virus. Why? Because it's contagious. It's contagious. And honestly, fear is contagious as well. Just turn on the news and there's fear everywhere and it's contagious. But can I tell you some good news? You see, yes, fear is contagious, and yes, this pandemic, the virus, it's contagious. But you know what's more contagious? The gospel the good news. Well, what's the gospel? What's the good news? Can I tell you today? It's that Jesus died on a cross so that we could be forgiven of all our sin. That even a sinner like me, even in the mess I've made of my life, like God gives me a second chance. That even if I don't love myself, God loves me and God cares for me. And He gave everything, including His life for me, but not just for me. He gave His life for you. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And it's contagious. Just like in this city, in this community that we just read about, just like how it spread and it went beyond that city and beyond that community into the world, it can happen here in Houston. It can happen here with Christ's covenant. The gospel is contagious. But how will they know unless someone tells them? How will they know unless they see the power of God moving in us and through us? Why not here? Why not now? So since the gospel is contagious, and since the gospel is good news, and since we should be representing the gospel and representing Jesus with others, here's the big question we're going to end with today, okay? I want you to lean in right now. Here's the big question. Is what I'm carrying worth catching? Is what I'm carrying worth catching? The gospel is contagious, but are we representing the gospel? And even more than that, are we representing Jesus well with our neighbors, with our coworkers, with our family, with our kids, our grandkids, with our community? We've all heard it said this way before, but I'll tell it to you again. Our life should speak louder than our words. Like, how is your life speaking right now? Let's share the gospel. Let's share the good news. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for your holy and written word. Thank you that it changes us. Thank you, God, that it makes a difference in our lives. And I pray, God, that what I've shared today, that you would highlight a point or two in every single life, every single heart, exactly what we needed to hear. Remind us today that hope has a name. His name is Jesus. Remind us today, God, that it's not just about talking the talk, but walking the walk, to being open to Holy Spirit, you moving in us and through us, people to encounter the power of God. They need it. We all need to encounter you. And God, I pray that we'd realize in a deeper level than ever before that yes, the virus is contagious, and yes, fear is contagious, but the gospel is way more contagious, and it can change our family, our neighborhood, our community, the city, and the world. So may we share the gospel. May we share the good news. May we activate in our neighborhoods. May we not shy away. This is our time to rise up. Right where you're seated, right where you're logged in, would you close your eyes with me if they're not closed already? I pray for anybody underneath the sound of my voice that's far from you, God, that they would give their life to you right now, that they would surrender all. No matter what they're facing, no matter what their sin is, you are greater than it all. You sacrificed and gave your very life for them. And all they have to do right now is confess that Jesus is Lord, to believe in their heart, Jesus, you died on the cross and you rose from the dead. Even right now where you're seated, you can ask him, you can talk to God right now, and you can ask him out loud, God, please, would you forgive me of all my sin? Would you wash me, clean me up, give me a brand new start? I put my faith in you. I love you and I need you. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcove.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at ChristCovHouston.